and welcome to your outlet for outdoors and Western lifestyle news, The Bend Show. I am your host, Rebecca Wanner, a.k.a. Beck. We say this each week. We love hearing from all of you. Your comments, stories, ideas. Get a hold of us anytime. Call or text 305-900-2363. Again, that's 305-900-2363. Or you can always drop an email to bendradioshow@gmail.com. Riding along, as always, is my producer and co-host, Jeff Tigger Earhart. Now, before we get into the news, I wanted to bring up a little reminder, a little housekeeping. If you have pets, tick season is upon us. So, yes, here's your little reminder. Tigger, I'm looking at you. Let's get our dogs into the veterinarians. Let's get them
protected. I already got the text message.
Oh, you did?
I already got the text message from the vet clinic saying that we need to update that, and she needs to get her shots.
Perfect. Well, then we're going to jump right into the news. A former head of Louisiana's wildlife agency has pleaded guilty to a federal conspiracy charge tied to a kickback scheme involving public contracts. Jack Montesette, who led the state agency from 2017 to 2023, admitted he helped steer a contract for online hunter education courses to a specific company in exchange for a share of the profits. Prosecutors say the money was split among the man, a former wildlife commissioner, and the contractor. As part of a plea deal, four other charges, including wire fraud and money laundering, were dropped. Montesette now faces up to 5 years in prison and a possible $250,000 fine. Sentencing is scheduled for June. Federal officials say the scheme involved hiding payments until after Montesette left the office. Another official connected to the case has already been sentenced to 4 years in prison. Prosecutors say the case highlights the importance of accountability in public office and warned they will continue pursuing corruption at all levels of government.
All because of an online hunter education courses was how he wanted to launder some money.
Next, we head to Ohio, where wildlife officials in Ohio say a deer processor has pleaded guilty after investigators found he was selling venison that had been donated to help feed people in need. The case was investigated by the Ohio Department of Natural Resources and involved a business called Rod's Custom Deer Processing. Authorities say deer donated through a program intended to supply local food pantries were instead processed and sold. The investigation, known as Operation Donor Deer, uncovered a wider set of wildlife violations tied to the case. Officials say Rodney Shields, 59, of Harrisville, Ohio, pleaded guilty to seven charges, including felony counts of obstructing justice and theft by deception. According to the Department of Natural Resources, investigators ultimately identified 35 people connected to the case and 55 wildlife violations overall. Charges included the illegal sale of wild animals, inaccurate record keeping, and possession of untagged deer parts. Many of the deer involved had been officially checked and reported to the state after being legally harvested. Shields received 17 months of suspended jail time and was placed on 2 years of community control. He was also ordered to pay $16,500 in restitution, which state officials say will be distributed to victims whose donated venison was sold. It's not clear how much venison was involved in the scheme, and officials have not confirmed whether the processing business is still operating.
Boy, you're full of all good feel stories today.
Well, this is another one where I feel like the guy should have gotten the book for it. I'm just going to put it that way. Now we put our sights on Oklahoma, where a deer harvested in Cimarron County, Oklahoma, tested positive for chronic wasting disease, CWD, in February, marking the fourth confirmed case in the state over the past 4 years. CWD is a fatal disease that affects deer, elk, and related animals. It's caused by prions, abnormal proteins that damage the brain, and is similar to other diseases like mad cow disease in cattle or Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease in humans. There's currently no cure or vaccine. risk to humans. So far, there's no evidence that CWD can infect people. However, experts say caution is still important. Hunters are advised not to eat meat from infected animals and to have deer tested in areas where the disease has been found. As for testing and safety, testing is simple and usually involves submitting the deer's head to a local wildlife agency. Cooking meat does not eliminate the disease, since prions can survive extremely high temperatures. Symptoms in deer to watch for. Infected deer may show signs like weight loss, drooling, stumbling, or unusual behavior, but not always. Deer can carry the disease for over a year without obvious symptoms, making testing critical. How does it spread? CWD spreads through contact with infected animals and contaminated environments, including soil and plants. Human activity, especially moving deer carcasses over long distances, can accelerate its spread. So what do you need to know as a hunter? Test deer harvested in affected areas. Avoid transporting whole carcasses. Debone meat locally. And lastly, report unusual deer behavior to wildlife officials. Now, this next story was a hot one across all my wires this last week. If you've not heard about it, the online marketplace Etsy, I think we all know Etsy for their arts and crafts, will be banning the sale of animal fur products starting August 11th of 2026, a move the company says supports biodiversity efforts. The policy targets items made from animals killed primarily for their pelts, though products like leather, wool, and sheepskin are still allowed. Who supports this ban? Who brought this on? Animal rights groups, including the Coalition to Abolish the Fur Trade, are celebrating the decision. They say it's part of a broader push that has already led to fur bans in places like California and proposed restrictions in several other states. Concerns from trappers and wildlife managers. Trappers and some wildlife experts argue the ban misunderstands how fur is sourced. They say regulated trapping helps manage wildlife populations and that fur is often a byproduct of conservation efforts, not the sole purpose. They also warn the policy could hurt small businesses that rely on online platforms. Some sellers say Etsy was their primary marketplace, handling nearly all of their sales. What is the economic environmental debate? Critics of the ban say natural fur is biodegradable and longer lasting than synthetic alternatives, which are often petroleum-based. They also argue that declining fur markets can make wildlife management more difficult by reducing incentives for regulated trapping. So what happens next? Affected sellers are now looking to move to other platforms, while activists signal they may continue pushing for similar bans elsewhere. The decision highlights an ongoing divide between animal rights advocates and those of us who view trapping as a conservation tool and source of sustainable materials.
Your dad was a trapper, right?
He was.
You grew up in a trapping family, so this one kind of zings you a little bit, I would imagine.
It does, because back in the day was a little kid, a big way of supporting my family, their livelihood, was my dad trapping coyotes. So I feel for those whose business is going to be affected.
And those, you mentioned in there that the alternative, they have the byproducts like petroleum-based things like that. So those people that are supporting some sort of a ban, you have your right to your opinions, but you need to do a little research into what the alternative product is.
Thank you.
In this case where it's this petroleum-based product and synthetics and that sort of thing. So do a little research, a little due diligence yourself. Fact-checking is what I'm trying to say.
I like what you're saying, Tigger. And on that note, we're going to throw this show to break. You're listening to The Ben Show, and we'll be back right after this.
Jorgensen Land and Cattle, the nation's largest seed stock supplier, invites you to the ranch in Ideal, South Dakota for the 54th annual Top Cut Angus Bull Sale powered by the Mother Lode, featuring 200 registered Angus bulls backed by proven maternal strength and long-term cowherd value. All sale information at ranchchannel.com and jorgensenfarms.com. For 54 years, the Top Cut Sale has been the standard for practical, performance-driven Angus genetics. Jorgensen Land and Cattle at the ranch Monday, April 20th.
You've waited, dreamt of a hunting adventure, and now have harvested that trophy of a lifetime. Keep the memory alive with a custom-designed mount preserved as a work of art. Check out our approved taxidermist. Depending on your location, the award-winning Schneider Taxidermy is located in Helena, Montana. When hunting the Dakotas, JB's Wildlife Designs in Mandan, North Dakota, then Shadron Creek Taxidermy in Nebraska, and for the Central USA, Little Rack Taxidermy in Macomb, Illinois. Reach out to The Ben Show and let us help you find the right taxidermist.
Country music's Trace Adkins. Live in concert Thursday, May 14th at the world-famous Miles City Bucking Horse Sale in Miles City, Montana. One of country music's hottest performers with special guests, Corb Lund and Kenny Fiedler. Tickets on sale now at buckinghorsesale.com. Trace Adkins with Corb Lund and Kenny Fiedler at the world-famous Miles City Bucking Horse Sale, Miles City, Montana. That honky tonk, but don't you go.
Welcome back to The Ben Show. I'm your host, Rebecca Wanner, a.k.a. Beck, and Ryan Shotgun, as always, is Jeff Tigger Earhart. This is a topic that shows up in a lot of social media forums, I'm going to say, their groups, chats, things like that, and that is how to gain access to private lands for hunting. People often ask, how do I approach a landowner? What helps build a lasting relationship? What can I offer in return? So we're coming at you as we are landowners ourselves.
We get asked this every year.
Yeah.
Every year people ask if they can come and hunt.
And the first thing I'm going to say is if you are somebody interested in trying to acquire access to private lands, don't be waiting until hunting season is upon us.
That's why now
we are bringing it up right now, because now is go time on that farm or ranch, especially for those that make their living off the land. They're either calving, they're getting ready for planting. They may already be in the field, but this is the time to foster that relationship.
Sorry, I didn't mean to step on you there, but chances are now you're actually going to find that landowner in the yard. Right? I mean,
yes.
They're going to be in the shop. They're prepping this equipment to go into the field or cut hay or whatever the case is, because in, say, a month from now, for sure 45 days from now, you aren't going to find them in their yard. They're going to be in the field, in the tractor, in the truck, driving somewhere. You're not going to be able to hunt them down, no pun intended.
Exactly. And the thing to remember is that when you go to build a relationship, say hello, meet and greet these landowners, first thing you got to remember is to access private land, in their opinion, it's a privilege. It's not a right. So regardless of how you might feel about the topic, please be sensitive to that landowner, because especially if they're farmers or ranchers, that land is not just home. It's also their workplace. It's a legacy they've been building for their families, and often it is their sole source of income. So you need to show that you are trustworthy to be able to come onto their property.
So here are some ideas that we've talked about, and Beck and I talk about this a lot, and we have our personal friends ask us about if we can come out and hunt. Instead of coming up to the landowner, you drive to Beck's place and she's out, say, in front of the shop and she's working on a horse or something. Instead of coming up, introducing yourself and saying, can I hunt your land? Do the opposite. What is it that you can offer first?
Yes.
Not what can I get in return? Because as a landowner, remember, this has to be a mutual relationship. A lot of times you can build those and yeah, absolutely. And you can go hunt and do whatever. And that's wonderful if you're able to establish those relationships. But to get them going, remember, it's got to be mutual. So if you want access to Beck's land, you got to approach her. What can you offer?
You nailed it. It has to be a win-win relationship. Think about it. Us as landowners, we appreciate sincerity and fairness. So if you're thinking ahead on this, look at yourself. Is there time right now that maybe you could donate to help that farmer or rancher? Maybe you're a truck driver and you have a CDL and you know that Wow, they could sure help somebody take a couple of loads of grain out to the field as they're getting ready to plant, maybe run and get a load of fertilizer from them. Say you're a plumber, you're an electrician, you are in some of those areas. Believe me, on a farm and a ranch, we appreciate knowing people in the trades.
Or something, trade is the key word, something you can trade of what your skill set is, that is something that you can offer. I don't care if you design websites. All of us have a certain kind of a skill, and you never know what that might lead into. It might be way more than just a relationship where you have the opportunity once a year to come out and hunt that particular piece of ground.
And I'm going to say this as well. This is a great time to bring the youth along with as you establish that trust. Because, for example, I'll tell you, there's folks that I allow hunting on our place, but those folks, they're donating their own time to say, help fix fence. You're telling me your kids can't come and help fix fence, maybe clear some brush, do some of that other work.
Maybe they don't know how to fix fence, because I'm fussy. No one's right.
Tigger's unbelievably fussy.
Maybe
but
they don't know how to operate that equipment. I don't even know how to operate half of this new equipment, for crying out loud. But there's all those other tasks that we need help with at this time of year, because the days are getting longer and we're looking at the calendar and people got to start seeding wheat and they got to put in corn and beans and do all these other things. There's a lot of tasks that a person can do in return, kind of your labor in return for being able to come out and hunt birds on my place.
Here's another idea. If you feel like you're against the wall and you know what, you're just not thinking about, things aren't coming to you that, wow, I could offer in return. Okay, look at other hobbies that you enjoy. Are you an angler? Do you enjoy fishing? And
I love that.
The walleye run is going on right now, and you know you've got a freezer full of walleye. Now's when you share some of that harvest.
Can I tell a story?
Yeah.
That's how my dad, before Beck and I took over my place, that's how my dad allowed, it was just actually one outside individual other than our immediate family to come in and hunt. And they offered the trade of brought in fresh walleye. And my folks absolutely love that. And so they thought it was a really good trade. And they've been friends ever since. And in fact, they don't even hunt anymore and their kids don't hunt, but they still send my folks walleye every single year as a Christmas gift.
That is awesome. So I'm telling you, there are ways to get around this. You can gain access to private land. It's just not going to be immediate. You've got to look at it as a win-win for both of you.
It's kind of a grind, as you say, doing things, because you're going to get 10 no's for one yes, or maybe even more than that. But don't give up.
Don't give up. Be sincere. Be a good person and just work on building that relationship.
So do you want to give out your number, Beck, and now everybody can call you and be like, well, hey, can we come up and hunt?
Well, I will allow you to send me any comments or ideas that you have on this topic, though. I wouldn't mind hearing them. And that number you can call or text is 305-900-2363. On that note, we're going to take a short break, crew. When we come back, we've got more of The Ben Show.
Good luck.
The hunt, the stories, the memories. This is Jake Fenrick with JB's Wildlife Designs. Let me capture and preserve that hunt, that story, that memory with a trophy mount to last you a lifetime. Look us up on Facebook at JB's Wildlife Designs to see samples of our taxidermy and reach out at any time with any and all questions you may have. This is Jake Fenrick with JB's Wildlife Designs. Taxidermy is my passion. Let me preserve yours.
Calf prices are good, but want to add another $100 per calf? Here's the solution. Gelve and Balancer females at an average maternal weaning weight advantage of 22.7 pounds per calf. At a market price of $4.50 a pound on 5-weight steers with a 22.7-pound weaning weight advantage, that's an additional $102.15 per calf. Gelve and Balancer females, they make it work.
The world-famous Miles City Bucking Horse Sale is back, featuring one of the largest one-day match bronc ride events on the planet. Join us on Sunday, May 17th at the fairgrounds for a PRCA-sanctioned spectacle where over 30 elite bronc riders compete for a massive $50,000 purse. Plus, add to the excitement parimutuel wagering. Visit buckinghorsesale.com for full schedule and tickets. The world-famous Miles City Bucking Horse Sale, where the spirit of the West comes alive.
Welcome back to The Ben Show. I'm your host, Rebecca Wanner, a.k.a. Beck, and Jeff Tigger Earhart is in the co-host chair. All right, camping season is almost upon us, and if you're like us, I'm already getting the itch to start having campfires at home, even though it's still a little chilly where we're at, but I thought this was kind of fun. How often are we out there trying to get a campfire started, and there's wind, or there's it's a little wet outside and your kindling got wet and now you're sitting there going, oh, what do I do? Well, this idea came across and I had never tried this, but it turns out I mentioned it right before we went on air and Tigger said he knew about this and has tried it. And that is, have you ever thought about using your snack foods?
Light your Doritos on fire.
Yes.
They're highly flammable.
That's what I found out. It's pretty much any of those snacky chips that end in Eatos, like Doritos, Fritos,
Tostitos. So what does that tell you what's in them? What does that tell you? If they're highly flammable, they're probably not the best for you.
Well, what Beck. I understood is that all these oily chips, and yes, they're very high in fat, these snack chips turn out to be excellent fuel. So
yeah.
I haven't gotten to try this yet, but Tigger said I've tried.
100%.
So next time.
The Doritos just, yeah.
Next time we light up the fire out there, we're going to try this, okay?
Can I share my little homemade little fire starters?
Yes, because you have always been proud of these fire starters.
I am so proud of these. You can go and you can buy the windproof and waterproof matches if you want to do that, or you can be a DIYer like me. Go and get some straws. I even got red straws. Because it's a fire starter. See how
look,
I did that,
look at
right?
Tigger, Mr. Safety.
So you take some cotton balls and you just smear a little Vaseline on them, right? Because
mm-hmm.
that's flammable. And
petroleum jelly.
There you go. And you take a little piece of that straw and you cut maybe, I don't know, 1.5 or 2 inches. And you stuff it full of those cotton balls that are soaked in that Vaseline. And then you take a lighter and you melt the ends together and squeeze them with the pliers. So now you have a little container that is waterproof. So when you go to start your fire, you just take your knife or whatever and cut it in half, pull out a little bit of that cotton, that Vaseline-soaked little cotton wad, and start it on fire, and that little thing will stay lit for 1.5 to 2 minutes.
I will say
bam,
that he is right. It does work. He sends me with these whenever I go elk hunting because he knows that I'm in extreme temperatures.
You can throw them in your pocket.
Yeah. And it's unbelievable. They do work.
Now, we always carry a Zippo or something like that with you. I mean, just for the ease, you know, we don't have to use Flint and all that kind of stuff. But bam, you get it started, and that's enough, like especially if it's windy, to keep that little flame going as you're adding your kindling and you're trying to build your fire.
Here's another little tip that I have that I've started doing is, say camping season is over and you have marshmallows left over.
Oh my gosh, here we go with the food thing.
Yeah, I know. I'm bringing back the food thing because Tigger will always give me a little grief because I've got these hard, dried out marshmallows. And he's like, why do we have these? Can we just throw them away? And I won't let them because think about it. When you roast marshmallows, the little suckers start on fire really easily.
So if you need something there too, I will grant you that.
I have learned that they are great. Of course, we're using a lighter or matches. We're not out there trying to use a mirror with the sun.
But my way is way cooler, even though yours is probably a little more efficient.
Well, anyway, those are just some ideas. Oh, and by the way, there's a snack you don't want to try, though. I did out back because I didn't have any chips here. I tried to start pretzels on fire and that did not work. While still on the topic of fire and spring, and all of us are excited to get maybe new patio furniture or how to do some upgrades at home.
Yay, new outdoor pillows.
Tigger's so excited.
I don't know how many times I've had to look at them damn things.
But I'm going to bring up an item that Tigger and I bought a couple years ago. So we're into year 2 or 3 now. And I've got to say, we are impressed. And by no means are they a sponsor of this show whatsoever. This is true, our experience, and that is the Solo Stove.
Oh, the Solo Stove. We've got actually a couple of them.
We do, multiple different sizes of them. And yep. We've even tried some of the off brands that are offered maybe at, say, Walmart, somewhere mm-hmm. like that. We have been totally impressed. So
They're
much
great.
So that we bought a smaller one that just stays right in our RV.
100%,
travels with us.
100%. Love the Solo Stoves or those types of, and we're using the Solo Stove because everybody knows that brand name, right?
Right.
And
yes.
We've got one of those that sits on the deck, which, by the way, I will say you need to make sure that if you purchase one, spend the extra dollars and get that little fire ring that the stove sets in, and then you can have it on your wood deck.
Yes, it is worth spending the extra
100%.
Money. I would not put one on your wood deck if you did not have that safety ring.
Yep.
But I can say in our experience, don't hold us to it though. In our experience so far, ours has been on our big one. We've got the Yukon, has been on our deck now for going on. This will be its third summer, and you cannot tell where it has ever sat.
Love this. And shout out to the off brands too. We've tried them and they've worked, and we've done our own reviews and they're great.
And we both got to say, sometimes, you know, in those windy or those other temperatures, or sorry, those other environmental factors, oh my gosh, it's been a game changer on getting the fire lit. And then also burning up all of the wood or anything else that's in your fire pit. All right, so just letting you know, two thumbs up on these. They're considered stainless steel fire pits that are designed to be smokeless. We like them. And while you're doing your shopping, make sure you shop online. A lot of stores will price match. We're going to call this show wrapped for this week, folks. Remember to keep sending us in any questions you might have. If you know of something spot worthy we need to share, that phone number you can call or text anytime, 305-900-2363. Again, 305-900-2363. Or you can always email bendradioshow@gmail.com. And if you missed part of this show or want to hear past episodes, you can find them all on the website, thebendshow.com. Be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcasting app and to The Bend Show YouTube channel. Finally, a big thanks to all of you listeners out there that came along. And whether you're coming or going today, stay with us as we ranch it up. And remember to keep up with me, Beck, all week long by following The Bend on Facebook and on Instagram at The Bend Show. This is Rebecca Warner. Catch Beck if you can next week on The Bend.